Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Really proud to announce this, that our version of Forrest Gump, Jacob Mizorowski, is going to the office.
You know, there's a lot of older guys around that have been around for a lot longer than I have, so I just wanted to send a thing. So of all the help you guys give me through these couple weeks that I've been here, so it's been huge.
That was Pat Murphy, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, and Jacob Mizorowski, freshly named first-time All-Star, doing it before he makes his sixth major league start. That is the news that is drawing all the headlines as we continue with Rahimi and Harris. Russell Dorsey, MLB national insider for Yahoo Sports, in for Layla today on this Monday. She's got the Sky game later tonight. They're trying to make it back-to-back wins over the top-ranked team in the WNBA, the Minnesota Lynx, that's over at the down south in the South Loop. Look, Jacob Mizorowski is an all-star. He's an all-star because Matthew Boyd decided he did not want to participate after being selected as a first-time all-star. Very different end of the spectrum. He's well into his 30s going for the first time. We're going to start with this, Russ. Matthew Boyd explaining why he's not pitching in the all-star game on Tuesday.
You know, before I had the selection, I had thought, you know, before I was, you know, got that honor, it was, we were talking about, just with everything in mind, with the innings last year and going into this break, and how, you know, there's an opportunity to kind of prolong the break depending on when I come back and pitch, and using that to our advantage. To, there's only so many, you know, natural breaks you have in the season, right? So there's a chance to kind of give you a breather, give you a blow, if you will, and because everything's going great. But just knowing that we're on pace to throw more innings than I have since 2019, or already have thrown. So it was just kind of built in that way. I hope there's another chance to pitch in the All-Star game, but, you know, the goal this year is to be fresh through all the way October, right? And something that we just got to keep in mind as we go forward.
That is what you call keeping your eyes on the prize, as Matthew Boyd explains why he's skipping Tuesday as far as actually pitching in the game. Now, you'll remember, he's a pitcher who's dealt with injuries over the past few years. Since 2019, the most innings he's thrown in the season is 78 and two-thirds. Now, he went over that if you take into account the fact that in 2023, he pitched 71 innings, and then in 2024 for Cleveland, pitched 39 and two-thirds innings. But I think what happened was he got to the playoffs with the Guardians, understands that is it. Pitching in the playoffs is it. Not to say, you know, forget an all-star game, but he's already pitched 111 and two-thirds innings. He's never pitched more than 185 and a third innings in his career, back in 2019 where he mentioned. Russ, this is a smart decision, I think, for Matthew Boyd in keeping focus on the end goal.
There's nothing wrong with anything that Matthew Boyd just said. There's nothing wrong with the logic. There's nothing wrong with the process. He also pitched on Saturday. And so where that lines up in terms of pitching on Tuesday, usually if a guy who's a starter isn't fully rested on that 4 days of rest, if it lines up like it did for Boyd, Tuesday would have been his bullpen day, right? Throw a bullpen like most guys do halfway between their start and their previous start. But I'm okay with a guy that's been injured, been banged up, has been throwing a lot because he's been so good, saying, hey, I appreciate the honor. It's an honor to be selected, but I need to make sure that I'm right for the second half so that this team I'm on can go as far as we go. So there's nothing wrong there. I think and this also happens because there are other guys outside of Matthew Boyd that made that same decision. So you're going to have to go down that process, the list, if you're Major League Baseball, and say, okay, so we got, you know, Ranger Suarez said no because he has, you know, wants to rest. Boyd said no because he wants to rest. I don't care how long it took to go down the list. There were other guys deserving, most notably Christopher Sanchez on the Philadelphia Phillies, who has the 10th best ERA in all of Major League Baseball. It's also 8th in fielding independent pitching, which, if you take out defenders, that's what that counts towards. And getting to the guy that has 5 starts in the big leagues, has been a starter for literally 31 days as we sit here today, that shouldn't happen. Because what that tells you, and I wrote about this YahooSports.com yesterday, what this tells you is that merit doesn't matter. And people love telling me, oh, it's an exhibition game, it doesn't matter. That's not true. Like, you can't have it both ways, because the league is saying, hey, yeah, it's an exhibition, so we'll just take this guy who's electric and we'll put him in the game. But also, players, we want you to be in this game because you deserve to be here. Like, which side is it? And I think for me, we use all-star games and all-star appearances as like a benchmark for how good a player is in their career. It might not be the be-all, end-all, but when we're talking about how good a player was during their career, like, okay, how many all-star appearances did they have? When you have people that vote for the Hall of Fame, one of their things that they look at, and it's not the be-all, end-all, but how many all-star appearances they have. When we're comparing eras, we do that. To Matthew Boyd's point, guys pitch their entire career or play their entire career hoping to be an all-star one time. Many guys never do it. And so players, even with guys saying no, they still realize it's an honor to be an all-star. There are just sometimes other factors that make them say, I can't participate or play. But players care a great deal, actually, about being named an all-star and what this message you send as MLB to fans and also players that are playing in the game or trying to be all-stars is that, hey, the merit, it's not as important as it used to be.
Look, I'm going to start with this. Christopher Sanchez, pitcher for the Phillies, was an all-star last year.
Yeah.
He has better numbers this year. He also has a lower ERA, a lower fielding independent pitching than Jacob Mizorowski this year. And Mizorowski's made only five starts. People compare this to Paul Skeens. That's wrong.
Bad.
Paul Skeens made 11 starts last year and was dominant from start to finish. He was the best pitcher going into the All-Star break.
The 2 months prior to the All-Star break, he was the best pitcher in baseball. Still, honestly, if you want to say he's still the best pitcher in baseball.
Who's starting for the National League in the All-Star game?
Also Paul Skeens.
Yes.
And had nearly three times as many innings as Mizorowski had. And then also, like Matthew Boyd, there were some guys that had pitched already the weekend before and said, I can't start in the All-Star game. And so
But you still need the selection.
You still need the selection.
And here's why. Because these things exist. They're called contracts. These things within those contracts exist. They're called clauses.
Right.
And when you hit a certain thing, you get paid. He was actually due to make $50,000 for making the All-Star team.
Christopher Sanchez for
yes.
everybody out there. Yes.
And so Christopher Sanchez does not get selected. Now, the Phillies, because they're the Phillies, because John Middleton's about that life, said, hey, that $50,000 you were going to get, we're going to give it to you anyway. And that is awesome. That is the good news that comes out of this story.
He pitched for the Pirates and the Marlins. might not be the same thing.
Yeah, Bob Nutting's not going for that.
No, he's not.
And so I just think it's a travesty for us to understand. And as you said, all-star appearances are not the end-all, be-all.
No.
But they are certainly a factor when you look back at a player's career to try to contextualize how good he was at that time when you measure him against his peers. And for Jacob Mizorowski to be out there and they're saying, oh, well, we want to showcase young guys. If it's that serious, you already do the MLB Futures game, right? Just like they do the Rising Stars game in the NBA, do something like that with first and second year players.
Right.
That's what you should do if that's what you really want to do.
Right.
And then you could show all the guys who could throw 100-plus miles per hour and do the things that are remarkable and electric that Jacob Mizorowski can do. But you can't take away merit base. It's, number one, a game for the fans. That's why they get to choose the starters, the position player starters. But it's also a real, as you said, benchmark for these players that they work their whole lives to get to be named. Even though he's not participating in the All-Star game, Matthew Boyd, he's been named an All-Star. You go to his baseball reference page, there will be a star next to 2025 by his name.
And I want to make this abundantly clear. None of this is Jacob Mizorowski's fault. He did nothing wrong. The only thing he did was be a really good starting pitcher in his first month in the big leagues, right? And that's great. And he's been a big part of the Brewers' recent success. With all that being said, he shouldn't be an all-star. And I think it sets a bad precedent as you go into the future. And there were also some selections this year where I look at it and I said, maybe we need to kind of rethink how we do this whole all-star selection process, because you're always going to have snubs, right? Like, I know people around here be like, oh, Say Suzuki, Michael Bush, and I know George Springer is a big one for me.
More Bush than Suzuki.
And yeah. you have a guy in Julio Rodriguez who was selected to go to the all-star game, and at the time he was selected, was 117th in baseball in OPS.
Yeah, that didn't make much sense.
A guy with a 680 OPS should not be an all-star. Over right. guys that have an 850, 890 OPS.
Were you good with the Tatis?
I did not think Fernando deserved to go, because up until the last 2.5 weeks, Fernando had not been very good.
Right. So that was strictly name recognition, as we continue to talk about the All-Star game, the fact that Jacob Mizorowski, after just 5 career starts, has been named to the All-Star game here on Raheem and Harrison. Perfect person in here to talk about this, Russell Dorsey, the Yahoo Sports MLB National Insider.
Also, to that point about Tatis and Rodriguez, those were player selections. So, like, I don't know what that process is necessarily like.
Why aren't they more transparent about that? Like, you know, in the NBA, they tell you exactly how the process works and the number of votes you need and who finished what.
I think the fans should be able to vote like they do. And then I also think the rest should just be based off merit, right? Like, I don't know.
Who's determining that merit?
I don't know.
Isn't it?
I would say
players and coaches, or just players, or just coaches?
Players voted for a guy that had a 680 OPS to go to the All-Star game.
But that's what I said. That's why I knew it was just name recognition.
Do we take it out of their hands at this point? But because it has to be merit-based. Like, if I'm George Springer and I've carried the Blue Jays to first place in the AL East, and over the last month I have the third highest OPS in the American League behind Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh, I should be an all-star. And I see a guy in Julio Rodriguez who I know Julio is a name and a young guy, as we've been talking about, but Julio had a 680 OPS the day he was selected. George Springer is sitting in the 850s.
Yeah, that's that Northern border first place bias.
And it's just like, Julio wasn't even the best outfielder on his team. Randy Arozarena should have been an all-star. He's not. And so I just think we have to, I know Jacob Mizorowski is our jumping off point here for this conversation, but maybe we need to have a new way of thinking about the selection process that keeps the fans involved. Don't want to get rid of the fans, but because I think the fans did a better job of selecting than the league and players did.
That's facts, and that's through 2 phases of voting. Some texters weighing in on this, saying 708. Didn't the Phillies pitchers turn down the All-Star invitation?
Only Ranger Suarez did.
Exactly. I knew that. And so I want you to, that's why I want to make sure everyone's
only
clear.
Only Ranger Suarez turned it down, and he had the same reason as Matthew Boyd. But I don't care if 10 dudes turned it down. You could have found somebody that wasn't the guy that had 5 starts. That's my point, right? Like, I understand guys are injured. Guys are going to want to rest. Guys will have pitched in the days leading up to the All-Star game. But there was a list of players that you could have gotten to before the guy that pitched in the big leagues for 30 days.
Let's be petty. 847 on the text line. Do you think the veterans will give this young man a cold shoulder in the All-Star?
No, I do not.
Baseball's not built like that.
No, because even the Phillies players who were upset because they had a guy that was very deserving said, hey, it's not that guy's fault, and it's nothing against Jacob Mizorowski, which was my whole point in my column. I'm like, look, he doesn't deserve any backlash because he didn't select himself.
Right. No, I think you're absolutely right. So I just think Major League Baseball has to be more careful going forward.
Got
to
be cognizant.
Understanding what this game means, not just to the fans, because they'll be like, everybody wants to see Mizorowski. He's so exciting.
Right.
That might be true, but you got to give the players who deserve it the first shot, the first opportunity to say, hey, do you want to come to Atlanta and be a part of the All-Star game and the festivities? That's all I'm saying. This is where we are right now. I want to remind people to tune in Friday from 10 to 12:45. Layla Rahimi and Rami Makhlouf will be broadcasting live from Gallagher Way, leading up to Cubs Red Sox at Wrigley. It's all brought to you by IDOT. The Illinois Department of Transportation will be on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more.